Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United won 3-0 against promotion-chasing Charlton Athletic at home today. I'm delighted to be joined tonight by Ashley, Dell, Max, Charlie, me, Harry. Before we get into the game, we have, for the first time, an Up the Poshcast ticket giveaway. We will be giving away, in association with Prime Vehicle Sales, two pairs of tickets to the next Derby game, the Northampton game at home on Saturday, 5th of April. To enter for these two pairs of tickets, you just need to do a few things. And the information for this will also go out on X and on Instagram later. But you just simply need to follow us on X and or Instagram. Follow us on YouTube, or sorry, I should say subscribe to us on YouTube, and make sure that you also follow Prime Vehicle Sales, which is at Prime Vehicle Sales. As I say, all the information will be on the socials afterwards. And with that being said, Ashley, please give us your take on the Charlton game today.
Look, I want to start with a negative. And just get it out the way so that nobody else has to worry about it for the rest of this episode. Jesus Christ, how did we not score 7 goals today? We were, honestly, apart from that final piece of the puzzle, we were sensational from front up until about probably the 6-yard box. But that being said, let's leave that now. Oh my goodness, Peterborough United are back. I enjoyed the minute that we kicked off. Charlton had their small spells of dominance. First 10 of the second half. But other than that, I thought that we were just all over them. I know that the stats don't always show that, but it was one of those ones where I felt confident that we were going to take the 3 points. I didn't think that we were going to lose. Everybody was just. It's hard to sort of picture that this team is the same team that lost at Charlton 7 weeks ago. And then since then, it's just been a complete and utter revolution from the football team. And look, yeah, as I say, absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I'm delighted too. I was quite nervous going into the game. Charlton were the form team in League One. And listen, we were... It was almost getting too good to be true, the run of form, but we continued it and in style. That was, I'd say, our most complete performance of the season. Yes, we gave up chances, but we gave up chances. We always give up chances. We're Peterborough United. That's the sort of football we play. But I think I was sat next to someone at the game today and they said, started moaning about the chances missed. And I just said, well, I feel like I'm in last season again. These are the conversations we were having last season. We need to be more clinical. You know, when it's 2-0, we need to try and make it 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. And they're the conversations I want to be having about a Peterborough United team, because we are really back. Ashley, you are right. The counter-attacking football today was sensational. The third goal today was probably some of the best football I've ever seen us play. You know, like two back heels, went out wide. There was a little 1-2, then a dummy from Sissoko, and then Malik finishes it and takes his top off. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. We absolutely rattled those Charlton fans, 2,700 of them. Sam Hughes had them in his absolute back pocket. I especially liked Harley Mills at the end of the game, putting a ball out for a corner, I think, and then just sort of doing a knee slide in front of them and just screaming in their faces. It was quite good entertainment. Yeah, it was a fantastic day. It's been hard to enjoy the home games this season. They've not had a lot of energy, not had a lot of buzz around them. And that we sort of got stuck in that rigid structure of concede two before half-time, huff and puff a little bit in the second half, and then get nothing out of it. But today was really entertaining. We were in the game. It was a fantastic game of football. If you want an advert for League One, that was a fantastic one. And yeah, I think that the best team on the day thoroughly deserved to win, and that was Peterborough United.
I think Darren Ferguson sort of summed it up perfectly when before the match, he said, you know, the team has developed a winning mentality, and I feel like that's what we've been missing. We haven't looked like we've enjoyed playing football, and we haven't looked like we've wanted to win games of football. It's more, how can we find ways to lose? Well, that's what it felt on that spell from the start of December all the way really until Stevenage away, was how can we find opportunities to cock great chances up, to take points and even three on some occasions away from games. And these last seven or eight games have been what I was hoping for at the start of the season. It's just come, you know, better late than never to get us out of this opportunity, to get us out of this problem that we're in. We just look like we enjoy playing football again. And that's exactly what got us through sort of last season, was just the enjoyment of playing football, having a hunger to win, running at teams. And that's what Peterborough United sort of attack anyway over the last few years or however long is what I enjoy watching. Is we don't care if you're fourth place, first place, sixth place, or even at the bottom of the table. We're going to run at you all game, and we're going to put chance after chance after chance in front of you, and you can put up with it as much as you want, but we'll win the game. And that's the mentality that I want to watch every week. If we can keep this mentality going, like I don't see, you know, necessarily maybe us even, I think we probably will lose, but even, you know, I don't think we might not lose again for the rest of the season in terms of the league. If we can keep this mentality going, look, Charlton are on form. They're one of the best teams in the league. And we've just absolutely schooled them at home, a place that we've struggled more than anything. Look, there is a high opportunity that we don't lose again. Or if we do, it's not going to be like the losses we've suffered earlier in the season, where they've just been so boring and dull and frustrating to watch. So I'm really, really pleased with the performance, and hopefully we can continue that into the next handful of games, or how many games we've got left.
You know, from today, I actually I watched a game for a different viewpoint. I was in the box of Next Level Fiber Optic, nice little plug there, who have just opened up a gym in where is it, in Yaxley. So get yourself down there. But yeah, no, thanks for the hospitality, it's very nice. But yeah, so I watched it from the halfway line, also where they filmed the halfway line for Peterborough United. Just thought I'd add that bit in as well. And it's a bit of an eye-opener. Watching a game from a different part of the ground is so different. You see different things. You hear things. You hear the communications. But is it fair to say that it's probably one of the best performances of the season? Is it best to say it's one of the best results of the season, best game of the season? I was thoroughly entertained. And you know, if you look from my ratings for today, I think my lowest was a 6, which was an average. And it may have been a bit harsh, but I thought the player I'd give a 6 was average. That's about it. But overall, very, very good. Good performance. Sam Hughes, how good has he been of late? You know, is any coincidence that we've been keeping clean sheets when you've got someone like him that's potting his fucking head through everything, you know? And it does. You know, I said it when he first came. It reminds me of a poor Zakwani. You know, not a very good footballer, but he's fucking happily to put his body on the line. And I've been impressed with him, to be fair, since he's been here. And every week he's getting better and better and better. And it was pleasing to see him obviously score his first goal. And I didn't realise it was even Odo's first league goal today as well, wasn't it? But there we go. So, yeah, the performance, really, really good. The last time we lost was Charlton away. Is it 7, 8, 9? I can't remember. 8 games, I think someone just put in a group. I think it was you, Charlie. 8 games without defeat. Fuck it. 8 games ago, we wouldn't see this coming. The only person who would have seen this coming. So we was at Stevenage, and young Max goes, I can see us going unbeaten for the rest of the season after today. And I think he's right. So far, we've not been beaten since Stevenage, if we, young man. Now, go back to the game. Really good. Impressed with majority of the players. In fact, I was impressed with all of them. But what I did see as well is the way that some of the players communicate with each other, you see so much from a different angle and being closer. And it's a bit of an eye-opener in a positive and a negative way, if I'm honest. But, you know, is it the, who was it, Malik's goal? What a goal that was. Not necessarily the finish, because, you know, you expect anybody to finish that, but the build-up was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. But just before we do move on, all right, show my age, it is my birthday today. Today will be Monday, the day that you're most of you hearing that. So the same day as Darren McAntony. I wonder if you'll say happy birthday to me. Let's wait and see. If you're listening, Dara, happy birthday. There we go. So anyway, 53, just for the note. So there we go. Great game, great day. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Yes, happy 63rd birthday to Dell. I just did that to get a reaction out of him, and it has worked for those not watching on YouTube. Yeah, look, sentiment so far, completely agree with. It was the most complete performance of the season that I've seen. I haven't quite been to every game, but I've been to a fair few. It was one thing I particularly liked is that there were a few tactical patterns that we've actually tried earlier in the year that haven't worked. One of which was passing along the back to the fullbacks and trying to build out from them. Absolutely destroyed against Lincoln and Bristol Rovers. You may all remember when that happened, and their wingers just charged down our fullbacks every time. Today, Dornelli and Mills both had opportunities to drive out of the fullback positions and build attacks from there. Plus, that isn't the only thing that we did. We had another route out, which was directly up to Ricky or sometimes to Malik, to then lay off a quick flick to somebody else and build a counter from there. It worked again and again and again. And what I liked particularly was it actually didn't work at the beginning of the game, but we stuck by it and hoped that the tactical plan that we clearly had would bear fruit. And it did as the game went on. It was great to see. Always helps when the first goal is fundamentally from a set piece, even if it's going to be one of the most unusual set piece goals you'll ever see. But, and that allowed us to then impress on them a bit more because they were coming at us a bit harder. But, yeah, the commitment to a specific plan by everyone today was absolutely great to see. And for it to actually be executed to a high level because, as I've said before, and as I just said, there's been times where we've had a plan earlier this year that hasn't been executed well. And that's sometimes the worst thing to see because it means the players aren't, you worry that the players aren't up to the standard to do what Fergie wants. And I think they've completely dispelled all the demons about that now. Yeah, really, really happy.
Yeah, it's just so good to be happy again. And when I think about sort of the performances, all these clean sheets are just so surprising, but also kind of convincing at the same time. Like Jed Steer at the back has ultimately been a revelation since he's come back into the team after the window closed. He plays such an important part in that ability to counter-attack quickly. And that's definitely something that he added to his game whilst he was out injured. And he's now ultimately one of the first names on the team sheet, where before you were maybe umming and ahhing. I know that lots of fans are like, it should always be Steer. But ultimately, he got dropped for Bilo at some point. And that change was a successful one, I would say, until it then wasn't successful. But Steer at the back, he's still doing all of those things that we've discussed before. He's coming out. He's claiming everything. He's taking the pressure off of the defence, which, unfortunately for Bilo doesn't do. And when you have that player that is so confident to come out to the penalty spot and claim the ball, knows what he's doing with his feet, knows the right pass, knows when to take the pressure, knows when to absorb it, it's such a relief that we have that goalkeeper at the back and that it's another high scoring performance from him. He's tied for man of the match and we've had to vote on it this week. So yeah, look, Jed Steer, absolutely fantastic.
One person that's sort of, or player that's gone under the radar recently, and there's so many that you can sort of talk about, but I think one player that really deserves a level of praise is Oscar Vallin. Brought him in the summer and he came in and I don't think he really impressed anybody. There was a few glimpses of a talented centre-back not one that hit the ground running, I don't think. Obviously, acclimatizing to a new league, having come from abroad, is never easy. And, you know, I sort of preached at the start of the season, give him time. You know, all the players needed to have time. And in the end, I think time sort of ran out, considering where we were in the league. And since him and Hughes are like building this partnership, they have been immense. Both of them have been absolutely immense. Sometimes, you know, obviously there's the odd shake with Valin, and I think that's something that's going to happen for the remainder of the season. But he doesn't look like he's got a massive clanger in him at the moment, you know, like we were seeing earlier on the season. I just think it's been such a breath of fresh air. And as Dell said earlier, sort of to extend on his point, you know, keeping all these clean sheets, having Hughes brought in, it was such a great bit of business. But I think Valin is really showing why we spent so much money on him in the summer, because he's come in and done a job really, really well. So I'm really pleased that we've got him at the back at the moment. And also, I didn't realise, like, just watching him, he is actually like relatively he's relatively quick, I think anyway. And like he's pacing with blistering. No, but like he's in, like, I didn't realize that he was as quick as he is. Like, you know, when sort of like you're watching the games and like you're not really paying attention, like when you really look at it, he is really quick.
Max, this has been his redeeming factor for the season, yes, is that he's managed to recover himself and get back because of how quick he is.
Yes, and that is why he's so good. That's why it's so good.
Just say you don't watch the games, it's fine, Max.
Oh, okay. All right. Look, okay, all I'm going to say is that I'm really happy that Valin has hit form, and, you know, he might be the flash, but that doesn't matter because he's unreal, and I'm really happy that they both hit form, and especially for him, it must be really, really good to sort of hit that rich vein of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to talk about Sam Hughes, and something I've noticed today, which I don't know if you've picked up on, is he's really good at winning headers. He's actually pretty decent at it. I think there's been a great partnership between Hughes and Wall Informed. They've played together. I don't want to copy Lotte's stat and steal it, but he posted on Twitter today that since they've played together in a partnership, we've had 4 wins, 3 draws, 0 losses, 4 clean sheets, and only 3 goals conceded, which is actually mental. That is a very, very good record. That is exemplary. That is like top end League One defending. That is a challenging team. Yeah, fantastic partnership. I do really want to compliment Sam Hughes, and I know we sort of talk about him every week, pretty much because he's been the difference maker since he's come in. But he wore the captain's armband today, and he is an absolute leader. He is a warrior. I don't think I've ever seen someone, you know, win as many headers as he does. It is utterly ridiculous. He seems to always be in the right position. He's very rarely drawn out. He is so good at sort of making up for what Wallin lacks in terms of Wallin goes wandering sometimes and Hughes draws him back in or draws a midfielder in to help him. He doesn't leave us short-staffed at the back. And I think something that Harry and I spoke about today was that I don't subscribe to the view that he's not as cultured and not as good on the ball as our other centre backs. I actually think he has got something on the ball. So he's got a very good ability to sort of he can find that channel from central defender to Ricky quite a lot low. He sort of curls them low, and he can spray the ball around. He's not sluggish on the ball. To be honest, when he's got the ball at his feet, I'm never nervous. I never think, oh God, it's Sam Hughes. He's going to go back or he's going to lump it. I think he's actually he could easily play in a much more possession dominant system than the one we played today. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sam Hughes. If it was in doubt before today, it's certainly not for me. He'd be probably up there with my number one centre back targets for us this summer, if we can get him back on a permanent deal. And when you look at our January transfer window, which to me is probably one of our most successful, most impactful transfer windows ever, full stop, when you look at the improvement that it's made to us. He is probably, him and Erdan are the shining lights of that. They've been fantastic. And yeah, he deserves all the plaudits he's going to get. He's so likable. He's the kind of guy that you feel like if anyone was picking on one of our younger players, he would be right there defending them. He's got that sort of psycho look about him, which I think you need in a centre-back. He looks like he just loves the art of defending. And yeah, he has been absolutely superb for us. Absolutely fantastic again today. Got his goal, which was thoroughly deserved. Yeah, Sam Hughes, take a bow, son.
Yeah, I agree, Charlie. And I do think that there probably were some questions over his passing, but it was maybe getting to know who's around him and the players that he's playing alongside. And actually, although he's experienced, he's still only 27 years old and he's still got that opportunity to learn and develop. And we talk about how good is our coaching and how good is our development of players. I think that this shows that he has become so much more comfortable in the way that Peterborough United play, whereas initially he wasn't. I would say, I think that's probably a fair comment. He came in to do a job, and that was to win headers and stop the ball going in the back of the net. He's done that. And now that we're now able to maybe focus on, and this comes when you sort of have the ability to not play games, is that he can work on those technical abilities. And like you say, I think the bloke's an absolute fucking nutcase. He scored a goal. Which side am I? He scored a goal. And that's the face that he's pulled. Like, not a sheer bit of joy in that face after putting us 1-0 up. And ultimately, I think that that is something that we need. And like you say, I agree. I think that he's somebody that we probably need to be looking to sign in the summer. Talking about people that we need to sign in the summer, we've discussed it before, and today's only opened up the book a little bit further. We've got a real issue at left back because Harley Mills is a fantastic footballer. And the fans will want Teo Erdan. We've got Adebisi, who we've spent lots of money on, and we've got Jack Sparks and we've got Harley Mills. Real issue. We want to be the team that progresses our youth, whether that's from another academy or our own. Harley Mills is the next one on the line, and I would be so frustrated if he didn't get more of a chance to play more of the games, because I think there's every chance that the next time that he steps foot on the pitch will be at Wembley. And I don't have that fear. Whereas before, you say, oh, we're going to have to play certain players because we've got cup-tied players. I don't have that fear with Harley Mills. I think that he's so wise despite being young. And the way that he plays football is fantastic. And he's shown that again today. And he's only going to get better the more that he can play. And I don't want that to be somewhere else. I want that to be at Peterborough United.
I actually agree with you on that one, Ash. Yeah, it's going to be a really difficult decision. What we're going to do with the left backs? Clearly, obviously, Sparks will be gone. I like Mills. I'm not going to say his first name. I like Mills. I like Eden. Right, and obviously the other geezer, Adebushi, whoever. We don't know what it's like. So at the moment, he is third in order, in my opinion, because we don't know how good he is, because the other two are just so good. Adebushi, that's the one. Come to me then. But just before I go on to midfield, what is it about us that we like to give loan players the captaincy? You know, we just got a habit of doing it. So, you know, Hughes was captain today, scored. Fair play, you know. But anyway, moving on. So just going into midfield, and we had to bring Sususo in, because obviously Cipriano was on international duty. I think he's done very well. You know, he's clearly a very, very good footballer. And we've been saying it for quite a while now. Ed's been coming on with cameo appearances, etc. What a great player he is. So that's going to be another headache moving forward. You know, does Cipriano come back straight into the team, or does Mahamadou? Is it Mahamadou? Fucking get in there. Right. So, practice makes perfect, boys. So, you know, does he start? Who knows? Who knows? But what is encouraging to see is that we're now having to make decisions about who plays in what position, rather than, shit, who have we got that can play in this position? You know, because the injuries are not as frequent. And, you know, it's great to see. And Colin's had another fantastic game, to be fair. So from a midfield point of view, it just everything sort of clicked today, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, we've definitely got some headaches coming up with the older who's playing here, who's going to be playing there next week. So if anybody does the old fan hub, pick your team. Yeah, good luck with it, because it ain't as easy as it used to be.
Yeah, really good for the midfielders today. For me, focusing on the forwards, I thought it was a really interesting performance from both Ricky and Malik in terms of there being so many good things. And I hope, even though it was an amazing win, they go and look at what they can improve. Because if they can focus on those fine margins in certain areas, they will seriously, seriously progress. For Malik, it's the off the ball progression stuff. So being available to Harley or being available to Dornelli, there were moments where he was a bit too advanced, in my opinion. And if what I'd say is there were multiple times during the game today that the entire centre circle was empty. And with him in the role that he is playing, he should be looking to drop into there because it gives their centre back an impossible decision. Mark him and come out of the line, or leave him, which is the much more likely thing that he'll do. And he's got the pace off the mark, and he's got the dribbling and the vision to be able to deal well in those situations when he's not marked hard. This is a minor point because I thought Malik played very, very well today with the ball. Also, my point I just made is not about a lack of commitment, right? It was more about a bit of on-pitch intelligence because his commitment was fantastic. There were times today where he came back and defended. For Ricky, he was clearly told to do quick one layoff touches all throughout. And that was what he was trying to do as part of the counterattacks. And they worked multiple times. But early on, we saw times where it was a little bit scattergun. It's just hope the flick goes somewhere and lands at a player's feet and sometimes doesn't. I'd love to see from him, knowing his own body position, how hard he's being pressed. Can he get the flick away exactly where he wants to? And if he isn't set in the way he wants to be, then he takes that touch anyway. Because he made two pretty damn good League One centre-backs look fairly crap today, and he could have taken touches at moments. No better illustrated than the first goal, where he took two touches prior to then doing a reverse pass to Malik, which led to Malik's excellent spray out to Oddo, who then buried it perfectly. This is not to criticise them. It's to say you played really, really well. You both dropped 8, 9 out of 10 performances. Here's what could have made it a 10. If you focus on those things, guys, you're going to be part of a team. Let's be honest, Ricky probably won't be here. But for Malik anyway, especially, you'll be part of a potentially promotion-winning team next year if you can step up in those areas.
I agree, Harry. I love Malik Mothersill. I love the fact that he just ignores all of the criticism. He takes it and he bundles it up into this big ball and utilizes it and hopefully makes himself better. Today was that performance where it concerns me that we don't have him tied into a longer contract. I know that John has mentioned it on Twitter today. It concerns me that we're getting to that sort of period where you're then hoping that the player loves Peterborough United enough that they want to sign a contract for a longer period of time. There were times where he's so frustrating, like we had with Ricky last season, and he should have probably scored a hat-trick today, and I'm sure that he knows that. But for him to get that goal at the end and to have played such an important part in the second goal, in Oddo's goal, look, it's massively, massively enjoyable. And somebody else that plays a key part in that is Kwame Poku. He's not there in full capacity, I don't think, yet. He looked a little bit tired towards the start of the second half, but he showed that moment of just quality. I don't think that there's many players in League One that could have just put that ball basically on a plate for Sam Hughes to put the ball into the back of the net. And to have somebody like that at your disposal is ideal in this scenario, because there are moments where you just need quality and he shows that. And that's what, look, I don't want to you know, say the same things over and over again, but Peterborough United is all about scoring goals. And today was finally that day where we scored three. We should have scored seven. And it was just great to have Peterborough United back at London Road again.
Yeah, it did seem that every time we went forward, you know, we was creating an opportunity to score. And it did look like, you know, I say the old days, it's only beginning of the season where we were just banging the goals in for fun. And it started to look like the Peterborough of old going forward, which is great to see. We missed some gilt edge opportunities. And that's the way it is, though. You're going to win some, lose some. But just, I'm not going to sort of go on about any individual players again. But again, what I just said about the midfielders, we've got some more decisions to make. You know, Brad was out with a, he felt his hip. Did you, Brad? It was a bit of thrust in action there, was it? Bit. How else do you hurt your hip? Seriously, how else? I have no idea. But, you know, so he's out with a hip injury or whatever it may be. And then, you know, because he didn't deserve to be dropped if he was fit. I don't know. But so again, who starts? Who starts next week at Reading? If the game goes ahead, that is obviously with what's happening at Reading. But, you know, so it's another headache. So it's great to have all of these, you know, players available that, you know, that are available to be picked and to play in our team. It's good to see, and I'm liking it. I mean, I'm enjoying watching Peterborough at the moment. I think it's safe to say we're away from the sort of relegation, possibly, but let's just keep enjoying the game and, you know, keep creating these chances because we are going to click. And, you know, we could have battered Charlton today, and on another day, we would have battered Charlton, even though it's 3-0. We would have battered him, as in the scoreline, because that was awful. Just on that, I did put a little stat in, but and I didn't make it up. That's the heaviest defeat for Charlton since Ipswich beat him in early 2023, I believe it was. So, you know, they're no fools. They don't concede too many goals. And the fact we put three past them, and it, let's be honest, it could have been 5-6-7 without a shadow of a doubt. So, great day. Great information, great, you know, a good performance, all round excellent. So, yeah, hopefully next week's just as good.
Yeah, I'm with you completely, Dale. I thought it was an excellent performance. And I feel like I've sort of ended up being on probably the more positive side about Malik Mothersill now, because he's who I sort of want to touch on. I'm really enjoying him in this new role. I think it's clear that, first of all, it's clear that he's been to the gym. That's something that's really obvious now. He's shrugging players off a lot easier than he was before. He was a bit lightweight when he joined us last season. I think that's one of the issues. But in the 10, he's having to do a lot of dribbling, and I can see it. It making the effect in his game. Obviously, he's missing chances. You know, I could feel the archaism of the Malik slander days sort of rising inside me when he missed that second chance from about 5 yards out. But I think he's adapting very well to his new role. I think it's his best position, the best I've seen him. I think off the left he was good, but he sometimes didn't have the impact on games that we would want. He's making good decisions now most of the time, probably 8-9 times out of 10 he's picking the right pass. He's got the sort of that star factor that you need in a number 10. And I think it's 18 contributions this season, which is very impressive. He's now overtaken Poku, obviously, as our top scorer for the season. You know, I'm going from slandering him to saying that if he carries on at this rate, he does have a genuine chance for player of the season, I think. We'll see how it goes. But another excellent performance for him today. He's on his day. He's so dangerous. And, you know, 2026 Ballon d'Or, we will be there.
Malik needs, like, he has to be, like, the main character. And that's something that I really do like about him, is that this position that Fergie's built for him is sort of like, you do what you want with the ball and you can be on it as much as you want, but make sure, like, when you get to that sort of final third, you make the right choice. And the more experience he has there, the better he'll become. However, there is another player that I want to talk about, and I was obviously speaking about a revelation of Wallin being quick. Well, I'll tell you who's faster, and that's Ricky J. Jones. And I have a delusion. It's a very big delusion that he'll stay forever, but probably at the end of the season, maybe he might sign an extension. I don't know. It's a delusion that I have, but I love him, and I defended him the other week when we were talking about him. And today he showed why he is so effective. He pressed and pressed and pressed, and it's relentless. And teams that come here and have to face that, like, absolute animal just running at you all game, it absolutely tires you out. And the best part about Ricky is that if we wanted to start Brad and bring him on in the 60th minute, then you've got to deal with that fresh on tired legs. It is almost impossible to play against, and especially in the Cambridge game, like, he came on and he made himself at least three chances to put away. Like, if he could finish, he'd be one of, like, the best players I'd ever seen if he could just put the chances that he makes for himself away. Like, he is unbelievable. And today proves that. And in this attack that, you know, we've been quite critical of this season, I think, and not taking chances, when he's playing, I actually think we make more opportunities for ourselves because of how tired he makes the back line than when we have Brad on, who's very good at hold up, but I don't think he's got that blistering, like, sort of like dog-like press in him. I mean, Ricky will just run at you all game, and it's horrifying to sort of play against, like, it must be. So whether he goes at the end of the season, or if I can keep my delusion going and maybe he stays and we don't get a horrible goodbye message, that would be great, but I don't see that coming. But speaking of, like, sort of like attacking partnerships as well, although they really haven't played together, I love the relationship that he has with Bradley, considering they're competing for the same spot. They are bundles of entertainment, like, every single game, like, over these eight games that we've had, they just shithouse every single team that we play against without fail. They're always doing something, and I love that. I love that to bits. And anyway, that's why, like, maybe my delusion can be fed that he'll stay, because that's not a relationship that I'm ready to let go yet.
No, I think you're right, Max. And, you know, when Brad's back in the team after he's finished shagging half of Peterborough, clearly, and having dodgy hips, you know, it's another string to the bow, isn't it? I think probably the final player to sort of mention today was probably Kean Hayes. And we've said it before, obviously, I was relatively gutted for him that obviously he dropped out as quickly as he did. But obviously Poku is the best player in League One. You can't have that sat on your bench. But again, it's another really good 30-minute stint from Kean Hayes. And look, I didn't think that Charlton were all that good at the back. I thought that their centre-backs all looked like donkeys. And to have Kean Hayes coming onto the pitch, and his ability to carry the ball was and is just fantastic. And actually, probably the same goes for Otto as well, because I'm not sure that we've mentioned Otto, and he's had his criticism from the majority of us, some harsher than others. But the pair of them are perfect. And that it now looks like they're going to be ready for next season, which is what you want, isn't it? And maybe they were exposed to Peterborough United a little bit too much, a little bit too soon. Now that they are now comfortable, look, I think that we're gearing ourselves up nicely to have a real good push next season, and really show League One that Peterborough United are back. And I think that we're already doing that. Is that Charlton walked up today, they thought that we were going to be pushovers. Inside 3 minutes, Lloyd Jones was spinning around on the floor like an absolute twat, got booked, and then was ultimately on strings for the rest of the game. Thank you, Lloyd Jones, for another absolutely disastrous performance at London Road. Not quite as good as an own goal that you scored for Cambridge, but, you know, we'll take the 3 points again today. Thank you.
All right. A couple of other things we want to mention on this pod today. The club has announced a update to the brand evolution, and we'll also be going on to the Reading game preview. But for now, the brand evolution update, the club put out a tweet with a new survey following off the back of the first one. So inviting fans to to fill it out with, I suppose, a bit more streamlined message, perhaps. They've asked for four different shades of blue. Which do we prefer? What makes a world-class football club identity? What word comes to mind when you think of Peterborough United? What is the meaning of the cross keys? What does Upon This Rock mean? It's almost like part survey and part mastermind challenge. Would you participate in one of our fan focus groups at the stadium? I want to go around the group and ask what people think, how they're feeling about the rebrand. Anyone who watched our Live with Clive knows where I stand, that I'm pretty skeptical of it. I'm possibly not the best person to speak on that, and it's maybe better for some people who are more embracing on the pod to give some positive ideas about it. I will come to Ash first.
I am full of positivity when it comes to the rebrand. I am ready for a new badge and a new era of Peterborough United. However, I was quite surprised that only 2,000 or less than 2,000 people took part in the survey, when obviously it was such outrage at, you know, the idea when it first came out. To end up with only 2,000 people, or fewer than 2,000 people, if you'd prefer, was kind of surprising, actually. I think that there's possibly people that haven't taken advantage of their chance to talk and to share their opinion. And we've now moved on sort of to the next phase. And look, there's another quiz, like Harry mentioned, or a survey, should I say, not a quiz, even though it does feel like that in parts. And I think that people really need to take advantage of being given the opportunity to have a voice. And if you don't, then ultimately I think that you have you sacrifice the right to complain or to offer an opinion on these sorts of things if you're not going to take the time to go to the meetings, watch the interviews on Posh Plus and all of that sort of stuff. So I'm still, I was skeptical at first. I'm excited, having had the chance to listen and understand where we're going with this. And I do think that it is the right decision, and I am excited for where it's going to go. And if anybody is wondering, the correct colour is C. I will say that again. The correct colour to choose is C. You do not need to choose A, B, or D. It is C, and I will bang that drum until C wins the majority of the votes.
You know, I think majority of us did go for C. But anyway, just actually, before I go on, I need to point out that I think I might have only sworn once in this episode. I've tried so hard not to swear, all right? And this is based, you know, because we are a podcast by the fans, for the fans, you know, and that. And a comment's been made that I have a foul mouth. I can't help it. That's me. But I've tried really, really hard just for you, Nigel. Appreciate your comments, so I'm trying, okay? Hopefully you'll give me a bit of a positive feedback this time. Anyway, any more swearing, it will be edited out for today only. But anyway, just going back to the survey, I think I'm not too sure about some of the questions that I was asking us if we knew the answers for. Yeah, we know that a lot of it is to do with Bibles and religious or whatever. I don't care. I don't care what it's related to. It's more the fact that the cross keys is what I associate with Peterborough United. I don't associate it with the Jesus coming and whatever. You know, it's what I associate. I don't care about the history of it. It's just what I see on a Peterborough United badge is for me. Okay. The other thing that I find quite interesting is all these different things. When you think of Peterborough United, you've got the cross keys, you've got this, you've got that, you've got the Upon This Rock banner. There's not one mention of the top hat, which I think is going to burst some people's bubbles, because they was quite keen. I know for a fact, I don't know for a fact, but I'm quite confident for a fact that they wanted to incorporate the top hat into the new badge. I could be wrong. So let's see what happens with the feedback. I'm all up for it, seeing what happens, as long as it's something half decent. And just going back to, you say less than 2,000 people filled out the survey. The highlight of that is, like, was it 0.2% of under 10s filled out that survey? I'd be interested to see what their responses were and how much they actually knew, what their history of Peterborough United was, because, come on, some of the younger even a middle age didn't know what was being said. But you know, it was an eye opener. Definitely was an eye opener of what people think and this and that. So let's see what happens on the next survey. Let's see what happens when we have the next sit down. But you know, at least we give Chris the benefit of doing his presentation rather than having to be stopped halfway through, like what happened at another club in recent weeks. At least we're giving the benefit of that. So yeah, you know, it is what it is. Let's see what happens when we go to the next phase.
As I say, I won't go on too long about this because I don't know if I can add that much positivity. I still think there is a big lack of focus in the words. I mean, we're talking about what do you associate with Peterborough United? Youthful, progressive, forward-looking. Firstly, what's the difference between progressive and forward-looking exactly? Like, can you define both or either? How are you incorporating them into a badge? We might be youthful right now, but one manager down the line and we might be having 10, 30-year-olds in the door. Like, this stuff is so, it's either very transient and just is to do with the flavour of the day, or it's really poorly defined. And I said this to Clive at the time about his original progressive, inclusive and dynamic, that these words don't mean a lot. I wasn't convinced that he gave me any real distinctive answers on any of them. But equally, I'm happy to have a nice consistent shade of blue. Anyway, probably enough about the rebranding for now. I'm interested to know from you guys, one more topic actually before we get on to Reading, is the upcoming final at Wembley. Now, we've obviously had one literally less than a year ago, and maybe that's impacting things. Maybe some people are waiting for the next tier to open up. But actually, I don't know, what are you thinking about the ticket situation? Because there's a few blue gaps on the website.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? And I don't want to say that we've got it wrong because that we have a priority system in place for a reason, but it really does feel like we're not quite there. We're obviously, I think it's general sale on Monday. I think that Birmingham's general sale goes on Monday as well. They've only got 6,000 tickets left to sell. We've not even managed to sell out the bottom tier yet. And I understand that it's an expensive day out for people. I also am confident that there's lots of people waiting for the second tier to be open. But if we don't get there, then it's going to be where Wickham were last year. And I was looking forward to, and still am looking forward to, this big day out where Birmingham have sold their end and it's going to look great as we look towards it. But Posh have got to do their part. And at the moment, it doesn't feel like we're quite there. There's got to be a reason for that. I'm hoping that come Monday morning, it's general sale. Everybody that's only got an account and doesn't have the points gets the chance to buy the tickets, and we buy loads of tickets, and then we open up the second tier or block by block in the second tier. But at the moment, it looks like it's just sort of something to sort of be a nothing game. And that would be disappointing for me because I don't think that anybody should turn down the chance to go and watch their team play at Wembley, because you don't ever know when the next one is going to be.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I mean, I've actually just got the article up from last year, and I don't know why we start up 1,000 points this year for priority ticket sales. So weird. Last year, obviously, we started at like 230, and that was absolutely fine. And everyone got tickets that wanted to get tickets in the areas that they wanted, give or take. And it was a real hype because everyone could buy their tickets at the same time. And so Wembley tickets going on sale was such an exciting thing for pretty much everyone on Peterborough United social media, because everyone could access them at the same time. And by sort of diluting that on sale date even further, it sort of removed some of the hype from the ticket sale process. Also last year, we had a lot more regular updates in terms of the sales. We were having articles on the club website when it reached like 10,000, when it reached 16,500, we got another one. Listen, the truth is we're not going to make the same numbers as we did last year. 22,000, for some people, going to watch Posh at Wembley was a bucket list thing. They've done it. They're not going to do it again. Fair enough. But I still think we should be good value for selling out the allocation, at least that we've got on sale now. And so, yeah, maybe people are just waiting because they know that after the lesson of last year, they know that they don't have to rush to get their tickets. And maybe people are waiting for general sale as well. But I mean, I don't mind being a smaller club than Birmingham City. We are a smaller club than Birmingham City, a considerably smaller one. But it was a bit embarrassing for Wickham last year when they had that little number of fans. And being outnumbered as much as it's looking like we're going to be right now isn't going to be the most fun. So let's hope for everyone that the ticket sales pick up a bit. But also, if it was just us five in the posh end and it was, you know, us five versus 60,000 Birmingham fans, I'm sure I'd still have a great time. So I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I think there's lots of contributing factors of why the ticket sales have not been as good as what they have. Is, as you said, Charlie, the lessons of last year, everyone was rushing in to get the tickets. But nobody did not get a ticket. Everybody got the tickets, which is fine. And so people are sort of like taking a little bit more time there. And yeah, there's a different level of how many points and this. So yeah, come Monday, when they all sort of like open up for general sale, if you look, you know, they are being sold. There was more blocks. It's not, no blocks is it sold out yet, but they're getting fewer and fewer tickets in each block. And it's getting like more white than it is blue, you know, where all the blue dots are disappearing. So let's see what happens. Let's be positive. We're not going to take as many as last year. But, and also, if we look at last year, you know, it looked like it was like all loads of empty spaces, but all of a sudden it went bang, 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 bang. And, you know, fucking hell, we had, didn't mean to swear there. What we had is we had loads of, you know, tickets sold very quickly. Already what will happen this time is Birmingham, you can see on the sort of templates, is Birmingham are already encroaching on our side, on our half, where they'll be overlooking some of our blocks opposite the dugout, for example. Fine, no issues with that whatsoever. What is also interesting, it was not really interesting, but it's the first time that I think I've gone to Wembley with Peterborough United and we are the underdog, you know, and we're playing a big team, because beforehand we've played the Darlington, we've played just sort of Stockport, Wickham, and we've always been the bigger team. This year, we are going to be the small team against the big one. You know, and it will be good to look down the other end and see, like, was it 45,000, 50,000 blue noses, you know, especially crying their eyes out at the end of the game when they've had their ass spanked, and Harry running around the pitch in his Aston Villa shirt. But, you know, so overall, if we take 15,000, so be it. If we take 20,000, excellent. End of the day, those that are going to buy your ticket, get to the game, enjoy it, all right? It's, and the form we're on at the moment, if we can keep that going, who knows? We could even beat them.
Speaking of cup finals, the women's team have made the County Cup final. And just briefly, if you want to go and see a good game of football, Posh are playing Northampton at Corby Town on the 17th of April in the County Cup final. What a fantastic opportunity to get another one over the Neen Derby rivals, and hopefully the women can go on and win that cup, because it doesn't look like they're going to win the league or get themselves promoted, like I think that maybe they do deserve. So yeah, if anybody gets the chance, head over there. It's Thursday the 17th, and give the girls the support that they deserve. Next Saturday, Reading away. I'm looking forward to it. There's every chance that it could be our last visit to Reading, which would be a massive shame. I don't think that anybody should be saying that they don't want to see a football club around. Dye, look, he's clearly a very shit owner. No idea what the EFL were thinking. And ultimately, Reading have had a relatively successful season despite all of their troubles. I'm hoping that we can go there. We can get a result that we need, although we don't need sort of, it's not as urgent now. We can go there, get a result, and then back off we go. Because it'd be nice to stay unbeaten, like people have said. Maybe not for the rest of the season. I think that's a little bit optimistic. But keep the unbeaten run until at least we play Birmingham. You know, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ash. And I mean, you sort of mentioned the Reading ownership troubles there. I'm going to tell you right now, Reading fans, there are going to be posh fans singing, "We'll all be having a party when Reading FC die." There always is when stuff like this happens. I don't agree with that message. I will not be joining in that chant. Nobody wants to see a football club go under. Absolutely not. Especially one that's steeped in footballing tradition like Reading. Listen, I hope we beat you on Saturday. But I hope you manage to beat your owner and you managed to sort yourselves out. I know that there's a very scary looming deadline about expulsion from the EFL, which is just terrifying, really. I'd hate to be in your position. I mean, I know even when that Athletic article came out that even mentioned the word liquidation, my heart sank. So I can't imagine the turmoil you've been through, Reading fans. So our thoughts are with you. If you want to make, please don't get the game called off. But also, if you want to make your voices clear and make them heard against your owner, against the establishment, then I'm sure there'll be lots of Posh fans that will be willing to join in with that. So yeah, that's what I want to say before the game. In terms of footballing, it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be really entertaining. Our last game against Reading was really unfortunate. They scored two absolutely shambolic goals from us defensively, where they just pretty much passed it through the middle of us. One was from a set piece where they took it quickly and we weren't switched on. And then the other was literally, they just played it low through the middle of the pitch and it were through one-on-one. They've lost Sam Smith, obviously, since we last played them. So that's one less thorn in our side for us to have to deal with. They're a good team. They're a good team. I know since Sellers has left, they've not been the same sort of dynamic team, but they are properly up there. They are challenging for the playoffs. They are in just as good form as us, basically. You know, they've not lost in their last five, won two of their last five, drew three. They're a tough nut to crack away from home as well. I'm sure there'll be a good atmosphere, a defiant atmosphere at Reading. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. But I also completely back us to go there and get a result. We've been playing without fear. It's a big pitch. I think it's a game that will suit Ricky J. Jones again. Reading are going to try and probably keep the ball at home, you'd expect. And we can go there and try and shake things up. And I think we'll be in for a really decent chance, especially with Teo Eden back, which will be a big boost for us.
Again, another game where I think it was last year when we played at Reading, wasn't there a protest, if I remember rightly, after the game about the ownership? But I think this week on Saturday, I think the game will go ahead, but I just feel it's going to be disrupted by on-pitch like demonstrations. Don't they do their tennis balls and all this and all that to sort of like try and disrupt the game? So potentially, I wouldn't rush to get home. I wouldn't make any plans to get home in time, I mean. But from a footballing point of view, let's just, we're on good form at the moment. As Charlie says, I think we're top of the form table at the moment. Go out there, keep our unbeaten run going, enjoy it, and put a decent performance in. Whether we win or not, I don't know. As I said earlier, there's some decisions to be made about who's going to be playing, who's not going to be playing, who's on a bench, who's dropped. And, it's good times again at the moment. So, we spoke about Wembley, going to get all your tickets and buying these and buying that. But before we come at Wembley, we've got Reading on Saturday. Ticket sales ain't great. Get a few more tickets. You see your team starting to play well, starting to get some results. Go away. Go away. I don't mean go away. I mean go away and follow your team. You know what I mean?
You know what, I just had a quick look, because this was the first game of last season, if anyone remembers. And I looked at the lineup from that game, which I'm just going to read out, just to tell you how long a season is in football. I know it's been, I suppose it's a season and a half. But Billow, still here, but on the bench. Burrows, Critchlow, Edwards, Kyoso, all either gone or out on loan. Kyprianou Collins, still here. Mason Clark, Randall Poku, and Clark Harris. I remember Ricky came on, I believe, early in the second half of that game for Mason Clark, who I'm pretty sure got injured having scored. And Ricky showed down that left wing the pace he had in a pitch of that size. One of you already mentioned it. I'm very excited to see. Ricky's my man to watch for this game in particular, because they are just going to have the same problem, I think, that Charlton did, having to deal with his pace and this way that he's playing right now, trying to lay it off to Motherseal. I hope the two of them start. I hope Brad is on the bench. No disrespect to Brad, but just because Ricky and Malik deserve to start this game, how they've played. And I think it's a pitch that will suit them well. We'll obviously be coming on to predictions later, but I'm feeling good about this one, I have to say.
I think there's probably even like a really solid argument to just go completely unchanged. And just regurgitate this team that we've seen today. going to the game at Reading. I don't see why not. Mills especially, he's going to be starting in the Virtue Trophy final, so he's got to get some more experience under his belt. We've got Reading and Cobblers, and then Birmingham at home before we play them at Wembley, I believe, unless I'm missing a game in between that. So three games now really before the final. I don't see why he couldn't start or rotate with Eden. Maybe like Eden can start the Cobblers game or Eden can start the Birmingham game or whatever. Just give him some more game time. I think that's really important. But again, just echoing what everybody said about the off the pitch matters surrounding Reading. It's never nice to hear that. And hopefully the game does go ahead and can be played throughout. Because I know, obviously, there will inevitably be protests. Just hopefully we can play the full 90 and obviously get a result is what we're hoping for. But I hope for Reading fans that everything sort of resolves itself.
All right. We're there. Prediction time, as per usual. Ashley, lead us off.
Right, here's how this is going to happen this week. I was close today. I did predict us to win. It was 2-1, so I got the three goals right. It's going to be toxic as hell next Saturday. And when that whistle blows, we've got to be at them from the start. I am going to predict an early goal inside 10 minutes, a break in play because there's some tennis balls on the pitch or some fans on the pitch. And then we are then going to win 3-0. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. I think we're going to score more goals. I really do feel like we're back. And, you know, look, by the time that we record this next week, I might be completely muddied again. But, yeah, I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling 3-0. I'm not going to go outrageous at 5. 3-0 posh. Let's go same goal scorers as today. Why not?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I don't think it'll be 3. I think it'll be a tighter game than the Charlton one was, but there's enough factors going on here that I think if we nick a goal, which we will, they're not going to be able to come back from it. I think it's going to be a fairly turgid performance from them just because of the amount of noise, and we're going to win this one 1-0.
It's a tough one to call, to be fair. You know, one minute I'm thinking, are we going to batter them? Then I'm thinking, are we going to win? And then I think I'm going to batter them. At no stage do I think we're going to lose. So I think it'll be a tight one, and I'm going to go 5-1 to Peterborough.
I'm going to go with 2-0. I think Kwame Poku is going to get both. And just in time for Cobblers at home so that we can tear them apart again.
Yeah. I mean, Reading are fourth in League One in terms of home form. They have been very consistent at home this season. Very difficult to break down. But yeah, I think there are a lot of factors at play that are going to make it very difficult for their players next week. That said, I think we need to start the game well, because I think if Reading score early or if their players show a sense of defiance early, then the atmosphere could be raucous and it could be very difficult to play in. But I think if we can sort of suck the life out of it, then we can harness the negativity in our favour. I'm going to go for a 3-1 posh win. I reckon Abraham Addo is going to score. I think, you know, when players get first goals, they often score their second quite quickly after the first. Once they sort of break the duck, they can then carry on. So I'm going to give Abraham Addo a goal. I'm going for an Oscar Walling goal from 29 yards. Like an absolute screamer. I feel like he's I've never seen him take a shot, and I feel like he might just do it for a laugh. And then I'll say Teo Adun is going to score on his return to the team. 3-1 posh.
All right. Thanks for that. Whatever that was, Charlie. Thank you all for listening, though. Appreciate it. As always, if you can, subscribe if you're not already on YouTube. Please like, share, comment on whatever platform that you're listening on. And once again, thank you. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us.
on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
What I'm quite pleased about is that whole episode, I only swore 3 fucking times. How good was that? I tried so hard.
It was £1.50 in the swear jar.
Fuck off.